بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله past few weeks we covered some مسائل with regards to وضوء and last week we started مسائل and rulings pertaining to غسل taking a bath. This one مسألة I forgot to mention with regards to وضوء is that for example if a person was to see some sort of impurity afterwards. For example, he kaidan praying his salah during the day, end of the day, and when he takes his clothes off, he sees there's some blood on his vest. And it is an amount of blood which would nullify his wudu. Then, in such a case, what should a person do? Does he have to repeat all his salah that he prayed during the day? Or what's the ruling? So the fuqaha and the scholars have mentioned that in such a scenario, it could be anything, blood, a person saw some sort of other impurity on his body, on his clothes, and he doesn't know when that happened. So first thing a person needs to do is try to estimate to the best of his ability that when would this impurity have come out of his body or got onto his clothes or body. For example, person saw blood and he thinks and after he remembers that at 12 o'clock, for example, I bumped into something and I scratched myself, so that blood must be from 12 o'clock. That means he would assume that his wudu was broken from 12 o'clock. Any salah that he prayed afterwards, he won't be sinful because he did it unknowingly, but we need to repeat the salah. But if a person, he sees some sort of impurity and then after, he cannot estimate at all. He's trying his best, but he has no idea. Then, in such a scenario, a person would just regard the impurity to be there from the time that he saw it. So the time that he saw it at the end of the day, we just assume that this happened now. And whatever he prayed during the day, that will be fine. There's no need to repeat. So last week we mentioned in regards to the different types of ghusl. Just a few more masail with pertaining to ghusl and taking a bath. So we mentioned that one of the reasons why ghusl will become farad and incumbent upon a person is when semen exits a person's, a male's private part. Now sometimes what can happen is that a person, he does his ghusl and after performing his ghusl, the bath, some more semen leaks out of his private part. So in such a scenario, the scholars mentioned that it will be necessary for a person to repeat his ghusl. So if a person, he ejaculated, whether it may be through intercourse or whether it may be a wet dream, he quickly gets up and he has a bath, but after taking a bath, some more semen leaks out of his private part, it will be necessary to repeat that ghusl. However, if three things occur. If a person, he had fallen asleep again, or if he urinated, or if he was to walk a distance of approximately 40 steps, then that would not make ghusl farad upon him again. So meaning, he ejaculated, semen came out, because of which ghusl became farad. But after that, he went to sleep. Or after that, he went to the toilet, he urinated, or he walked a little distance. Thereafter, he did his ghusl, and thereafter, some more semen came out. Not a large amount, just a few drops came out. Then, in such a scenario, ghusl will not become farad. Obviously, those drops will make will break the person's wudu, and they will be impure, but the person does not need to repeat that ghusl. Now, the fara'id of ghusl. What things are necessary when a person takes a bath Islamically? So, number one, a person needs to gargle his mouth. Ensure water reaches all the different areas of the mouth. Number two, a person needs to put water up his nose. Make sure water reaches at least the soft part. So when a person feels his nose, first the beginning part is soft and after the bone starts. So at least up to the hard part, water needs to reach. And number three, water has to reach the outer surface of the whole body. The whole body must become wet, to the extent that even if one hair is to remain dry, a person's ghusl will not be valid. So these are the basic three fara'id, three compulsory acts of ghusl. And when it comes to washing the mouth, then a person needs to ensure that water reaches all the different areas. However, if a person is fasting, so it is normally sunnah for a person to be excessive and try to exaggerate in trying to clean his mouth. But if a person is fasting, and then in such a scenario, it is not sunnah for him to be excessive, it's sunnah for him to exaggerate. Because there is a high chance that whilst he's putting the water around his mouth, then the water may go down his throat because of which his fast will break. So when a person is fasting, then you know, he needs to be a bit careful, he doesn't need to exaggerate. But when a person is not fasting, then the person should make sure and try his best that the water reaches all different areas of the mouth. Even if something goes down the throat, it is fine because he's not fasting. Similarly, if a person was not to gargle, he didn't wash his mouth out, but he drank water. So if ghusl was farad on him, he drank some water, after he took the bath, and afterwards realized that I didn't wash my mouth out. But because when a person drinks water, if he drank water in a manner that water reached all the areas of the mouth, and that is fine, it is not necessary that a person spits out that water. So even if a person was to swallow that water, it is still fine, his ghusl will be done. So we mentioned that the three fara'id of ghusl. First one was gargling, yeah. Clean the nose, and the whole body needs to get wet. Just making sure you're awake. But if a person, for example, he doesn't need ghusl, and afterwards he remembered afterwards that I forgot to gargle my mouth, or I forgot to put water to my nose, or one area of his body remained dry, then similar to wudu, it is not necessary for him to repeat the whole ghusl, whatever he left out. If, for example, half an hour later, he's dried himself up everything, and after he remembers that, oh, I forgot to gargle. Even half an hour later, 1 hour later, whenever he remembers, if he was to gargle his mouth, that will be fine. Or whatever area was left dry, if he was to wash that later on, even then, his ghusl will be fine. There's no need to repeat the whole ghusl. Now the masnoon method, the sunnah method of taking a bath. So firstly, a person needs to make intention that I am performing ghusl so for, in order for me to become pure, so I can read the Quran, I can read my salah, etc. A person should say Bismillah, and after saying Bismillah, he should wash both his hands. This is how we do in wudu, wash both your hands. Thereafter, he should wash his private areas. So whether there is any impurity there or whether there is no impurity there, it is sunnah for a person to wash his private parts first. Thereafter, he should perform his full wudu. The normal wudu that we mentioned before for, that we do for salah, a person should perform the full wudu. Thereafter, he should pour water onto his right shoulder or right hand side three times. So this is when a person uses a bucket and a jug. He would pour water over the right hand side three times. Thereafter, the left hand side three times. And thereafter, over the head three times. So right side, three times, left side, three times, and then over the head, three times. And a person should ensure to rub his whole body in order to make sure the water reaches everywhere. He should make a habit of rubbing the water onto his body, and that will be the sunnah, ghusl will be done. So nowadays, we tend to have the shower, so it is difficult for a person to act upon this sunnah, but it is better for the sunnah is a person uses a bucket and a jug. This also uses less water, and we will also be fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah. One thing that we need to be mindful of, especially nowadays, is because of the shower and the amount of water which comes out of the shower head, many of us are engaged in israf. Israf means extravagance. We're wasting water for no reason. Some youngsters, they take up half an hour, 1 hour in the shower because it feels nice. A person needs to be careful. He's wasting water, and this is something which the Sharia has prohibited. person actually sees the amount of water which Prophet ﷺ used to use for ghusl, approximately maybe a 2-liter bottle. A 2-liter bottle, that's the amount of water Prophet ﷺ used to do the sunnah ghusl. We can't even do wudu with that much water. That's how much water we use. But this is something we should be mindful of, and a person should try his best. Now, some things which a person should not do. So number one, mention about israf. Number two is that a person should not face towards the Qibla. When a person is naked, he does not have any clothes on his body, then he should not face towards the Qibla, nor should he put his backside towards the Qibla. So just how when a person does istinja, he makes it a point that he's not facing towards the Qibla, his back is not towards the Qibla. Similarly, when a person is taking a bath, he should try to ensure that he's not facing the Qibla, nor is his back towards the Qibla. Similarly, a person should be doing his ghusl when he is alone in seclusion. And a person should be mindful that his satr is not exposed to anyone else. Normally we do this, people have haya and they have some sort of shame. But if you have these public baths, people go gyms or swimming, etc. So a person needs to be careful in such places. The next ruling is that if a person is doing ghusl in a place where the water gathers. So normally in such countries this wouldn't occur because the water goes down the drain. But sometimes it can happen that the drain gets blocked or the water goes down slowly and the water it starts to gather in the bathtub or the shower, wherever a person may be. Then in such a place it is best that the person washes his feet at the end. So he comes out and thereafter he uses water to wash his feet to ensure that everything is clean and there is no impure water left on his feet. The next reason is for a lady who has plaits. So ladies who have plaits, then it is not necessary for them to open their plaits. When it comes to ghusl, it is best obviously to open it and make sure the hair becomes fully wet, but it is not necessary for them to open their plaits. As long as they ensure that the water reaches the roots of the hair. As long as water reaches the roots of the hair, it is not necessary for a female. This ruling only applies to male, females. For male, some males have braids. If ghusl becomes farad and incumbent, then it's necessary for them to open their braids. But this is for females, that for them it's not necessary for them to open their plaits. As long as water reaches the roots of the hair, then this is fine and their ghusl will be valid. Similarly, when it comes to washing the mouth, sometimes a person may see afterwards that he had some food stuck in between his teeth, and this is something a person does not need to be worry about. A person doesn't need to go. It is best that a person cleans his mouth first and thereafter does the gargling. But a person did his ghusl after he sees or got some seeds stuck or got some food stuck in between my teeth, this is fine, it won't affect a person's ghusl. Similarly, if a person has mucus in his nose and he's done his ghusl after he's realized I've got a lot of mucus, a person may have a flu or cold or whatever it may be, even that will not prevent a person's ghusl being valid. As long as the mucus is wet. If the mucus is wet, then this will be fine. However, if the mucus has become dried, and become dried now it's become hard. So when mucus becomes hard, then it stops water from penetrating through. If it's wet, then water can go through it, so it will be fine. But if it becomes dried and hard, or similarly, if there's anything else on a person's body, person has some paint which has dried, some glossy paint you mentioned before when it comes to wudu, and it becomes dried and it's not allowing water to come through onto the body, then this will make a person's ghusl will not be complete. A person will need to remove that hard mucus, a person will need to remove whatever paint or whatever he has on his body, and thereafter make sure that water reaches the skin on that area of the body. Similarly, if a person has fake teeth, so if he has fake teeth in his mouth, then it is not necessary for him to remove his teeth and then ghusl, it is fine. Similarly, if a person has braces, to remove braces, this is something difficult, so a person does not need to take them out. Yes, if a person has false teeth, it is easily removable, or those braces or retainers which you can easily take out, then a person needs to remove them before performing ghusl. Another ruling is that even when it comes to ghusl, it is preferable that a person covers his awrah, his satr from navel to the knee, it is preferable that a person does cover that. Even though a person is in seclusion, it is permissible for a person to bathe naked, which majority of the people do. But it is a person should have haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the angels. And this is the quality of Uthman radiallahu anhu. That Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had so much haya and he had so much shame that even when he was alone, whenever he bathed, he would bath the lungi. He would cover, he would wear cloth from his navel to the knee, and he would bath in such a manner. So if a person can do this, then this is something which is preferable, something which would be great, but it is not something which is necessary. Similarly, a person should not urinate in the place of ghusl. In the shower wherever a person is, a person should not urinate. We learned from the hadith that sometimes this can be the cause of wasawis and whispers of shaitan affecting a person's mind. That we have whispers with regards to purity and other things. So a person should not urinate in the place of ghusl. So even though it may be permissible, if the water, as long as the water is going down the drain, there is not a, it's not a place where the water is gathering, but it's something a person should try to refrain from. Similarly, a person should not talk whilst he's taking a bath. When a person is naked, in such a state, a person should refrain from any unnecessary talking. Yes, it is an emergency, someone needs some sort of help, then there is no harm. But unnecessary talk, a person needs to avoid. And the last masala I will just do for today is that once a person has performed his ghusl, then it is not necessary for a person to do wudu again afterwards. So when a person does his ghusl, then wudu is automatically done. So there's no need to do ghusl and then perform wudu separately. When you done your ghusl, your wudu is automatically done. Does anyone have any questions? So as long as no impurity goes inside. So when a person is washing himself, then the water which comes off a person's body is known as musta'mal, used water. So used water, it is still pure, even though a person cannot use it for ghusl or wudu. So now, those little splashes that go inside, because they won't be the majority. The majority will be the clean water still in the bucket. So those few splashes that go inside, that's fine, that won't affect it. If it becomes majority, so the majority of the bucket is filled with those splashes, it's highly unlikely, but if that was, then you can't. Then the person will need to get fresh water. So this is one of the modern masalas. I didn't go into it on purpose because there's a bit of a difference of opinion. But some scholars, they say it's called like an attached bathroom. In the past, you used to have the toilet separately and the sink separately or a bath separately. But nowadays, because it's all together. So what some scholars have mentioned is that as long as the toilet and the sink are in separate areas of the room, and there is no impurity there, so a person has flushed the toilet, there is no impurity in the apparent, then there is a bit of leeway for a person to say Bismillah, say the du'as whilst he's doing wudu in the sink, or when a person is taking a bath. Because it's now become separate areas, and it's all become into one room, some scholars have given that leeway. Some say that no, because it is still regarded as the toilet, when you say the toilet or the bathroom, because we regard that to be the place of where a person relieves himself, then it is from the adab and from the etiquette of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person refrains from. So there's a bit of a difference of opinion. Anyone else? Yeah. So if a person was past wind, then his wudu will become invalid. So whatever parts are you wash during wudu, they will need to be washed again. That's one masala with regards to wudu as well. If a person was doing his wudu, and then after he was to break his wudu, he passed wind, then does he just carry on because his wudu wasn't complete? The answer is no, he'll have to restart. So you wash your face, your arms, and then you passed wind, you have to start again. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq.
Thank you.